It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand spanking new edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. The Off the Wall podcast brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV. DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. It's the usual suspects this week, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma. Nothing going on, huh, Joey?
Oh, no. Nothing on the New York sports horizon. It's unbelievable.
So let's talk about what we have going on here. We have the Jets about to embark on their second consecutive AFC title game.
Yes.
We have the Nets saying no to Carmelo Anthony.
Nyet.
Yes, or nyet, da, as it were. And we also have, now that the Nets are out of this, the Knicks have been pulled into the fray and to the front page, if you will, to the Carmelo Anthony dealings.
Yes.
Carmelo said after his game last night, when they played the Thunder, that he still feels he stands by his story that he gave to SI that he will be dealt before the trade deadline in late February. So we have a lot to go with here today. We're going to start, and we also have the Yankees. Let's not forget the Yankees as well.
Yes, and the Giants, a couple of Giants coming out speaking against Tom Coughlin.
We can talk about that.
It's all on the New York horizon.
Oh, baby, there's just so much going on. This is a week that we just, you know, you live for. When you're talking about New York sports, this is a week that you live to have a show like we have in Off the Wall, brought to you by DirecTV, by the way. I have this funny feeling. You know, you always get like the same old Jets, and you have Jet fans out there saying that this weekend, it's going to happen again. Already, they're glass half empty. But this is how I feel about the Jets in this season. There were games this season. I'll go back to the Denver game. They were trailing late. They get that pass interference on Holmes down the left sideline.
Mm-hmm.
They end up beating Denver, which was a brutal game if you're a Jet fan, because Denver is a brutal team.
Yeah.
But that is a game that in the past, with the quote-unquote same old Jets, that aura, that's a game they lose. They won that game.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple more games down the line that were the same MO, and instead of losing those games, the Jets came out on top. You might think I'm crazy. I just think the Jets are destined to be in Dallas this year. It's a Jetstiny.
I see what you did there.
That's what I did it on Twitter, but no one really retweeted it, so I figured I'd throw it on the podcast. Maybe we'll get some shirts working, and I could patent it and make some money. J-E-T-S-T.
Stinny.
Yeah, Jetstiny. Anyway, the play on words aside, I just really think that the Jets, maybe not a double-digit win, but I think they control the Steelers, and they win in Pittsburgh. And think about this for a second, Joe. You can't really, I mean, you could compare it to the Giants in 07, but the Giants, don't forget, the Giants went to the Super Bowl and beat an undefeated team. They stopped the Patriots from having an undefeated year. So it's going to be a stretch if the Jets do get to the Super Bowl and eventually win it. You can't say it tops the Giants that season. I don't think anything could top it unless another team is going to have an unbeaten season and somebody ends it. But think about the road to the Super Bowl that the Jets would have taken if they do beat the Steelers this weekend. They would have beaten Peyton Manning,
mm-hmm.
Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
and Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
three quarterbacks.
Six Super Bowls combined.
Six Super Bowls combined, all on the road to get there. And then they might have to beat Aaron Rodgers to do it. I mean, that is an incredible run. Yeah. And you won't be able to take anything away from the Jets. If you're a Giant fan and you're a Jet hater, listen, if they get there and they win it, it doesn't matter. You have to give the Jets their due respect. And if they do get there and they do win it, everything that Rex Ryan has indoctrinated into this Jets team comes a reality.
Yeah.
And this guy, I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it this, if they win the Super Bowl, and I know it's still in the future, they still have a lot of work to do, but if they win the Super Bowl, Rex Ryan becomes what LeBron James would have been if he came to the Knicks and got one championship. He becomes a god. He is a Roman god of New York. Jet fans have been struggling. Joe, they haven't won since 1969.
Super Bowl III.
This guy becomes Zeus.
Yeah.
When it comes to New York sports.
I couldn't have said it any better. I think this is a guy who came in with a lot of bravado, a lot of moxie, said, you know, within 5 years, we're going to be holding the trophy and going down to the White House. That was the first thing he said. He's been talking big. They talked big in the Patriots game. They talked big in the Colts game. They backed it up with their play. Bart Scott in the post game with his talk saying, you know, Tom Jackson and Keyshawn Johnson disrespecting the Jets, talking to us like we're the New England Patriots. They couldn't even stop a nosebleed. I mean, things that you're right. For a Jet fan, it's absolutely a great time to be a Jet fan. It's fun to see. They're backing up what they're saying. They've gotten to this point now that they were at last year. Now they need to make that next step. And like you, I am in agreement. I believe they're going to be in Dallas. I think they're going to beat the Steelers. To me, the Steelers have been a team all year that have been playing on the ropes. I feel like the Ravens gave them that game, being up the way they were up, and then just turning the ball over, being reckless with the ball. I thought the Ravens were the better team, and I think the Jets are the better team. And they've already beaten them once this year, so I think they can beat them again.
And that win is a big win going back to Week 15, because if the Jets lose that game, I don't care what you say. There's doubt in your mind. You know, we already lost once in Pittsburgh. I mean, we got to go back there now, and now they got Polamalu back. They got Heath Miller back. They weren't in the lineup the last time they played. There is some doubt. But the fact that they went in there and they had that defensive stand late in the game, mm-hmm. because the Steelers were knocking. Yeah. The Jets' defense shut them down.
Well, it's funny you say that, because you kind of compared the Giants' run a couple of years ago. The Giants, even though they lost the game, needed that Patriots game to build that confidence, to go on the run that they went on. And the Jets, when it's all said and done, you know, Jet fans can go back and look at that game, I believe, as a benchmark to why the Jets are so confident and playing so hot and are at this point. You know what? You have to give the better team, I don't care what anybody says, the better team won last Sunday. The better team was the Jets over the Patriots. And I think the better team is going to win this week.
Well, let's take a look at this too, because that Steeler game in Week 15, if you remember, Joey, the Jets were not playing good football back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that was going to be, I think they lost two. I'm not sure. I can't remember correctly. And it doesn't really help that my computer isn't functioning to look it up. But I believe the Jets lost two in a row and they had to go to Pittsburgh. And that was a game they needed to win in order to get some confidence back. And it's going to be funny and very ironic if that win in Pittsburgh gives them that confidence going back there this weekend to send them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, you know, I know you mentioned, you know, Aaron Rodgers as a possible quarterback. You know, I feel like a lot of people are dissing the Bears this week and what Jay Cutler did, you know, throwing two touchdowns, running for two touchdowns.
Well, that's because of his history. I mean,
right,
he has to put a couple together before people are going to give him a little confidence.
I agree. You know, and just looking at it, I think the Jets certainly can beat either one of those teams. However, I am the one that picked the Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl this year.
I can't begin to tell you how much I was praying that the Steelers came back and beat the Ravens, because I didn't want to hear you.
No.
For middle of baseball season, I would have been hearing,
Oh, well, I picked the Super Bowl.
You know, oh, baby. I was boasting about it. When they're up the 21-7, I'm like, oh, baby, let's go Ravens and Packers. Oh, I am so good.
Oh, boy.
And then they lost.
I am so glad they lost. And you know what, Joe? Memory served me correct, because going into that Steeler game, the Jets lost to the Patriots 45-3.
Right, they got crushed.
And then a bad loss to the Dolphins at home, 10-6. So they lost two in a row going into Pittsburgh, and they lost, and they won that game 22-17. So a big win, a little bit of a turnaround for them. They lost to Chicago the next week, but then blew out Buffalo in like a JV game. But that win in Pittsburgh gave them, I think, gave them the confidence. Even in that game against the Bears, they scored 34 points. They still lost the game. But I think that Pittsburgh game in Week 15 is going to be a defining factor.
And one thing to note, that both the Giants and the Jets are going on their run here. The Jets haven't had a playoff home game in God knows how long. Mark Sanchez, has he ever played at home in the playoffs? So that's what I'm saying. It's the Giants and the Jets lately have been better away from home, especially this year. The Jets were not great at home this year, and now both of these teams have made their bones on the road, really.
And we can't bring up road teams, Joe, without bringing up, of course, the Green Bay Packers, who've done all their damage on the road. Wildcard weekend, they take out Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles. Divisional round, they take out the number one seeded Atlanta Falcons, and that dome was so quiet by the second quarter that Arthur Blank was probably wondering, where's that bus?
Arthur Blank was like, get me to Home Depot.
Can I get on that bus? Remember that bus, the commercial? Thank God they stopped playing that, too.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy, get on the bus and go home, Atlanta.
The bus.
Oh, baby.
No music was playing on that
bus. No. That was a very silent ride home for the Falcons. Sorry, Sal Licata. I know you were crying basically during that game.
You know, I've gone to a couple of his Home Depots and gotten some lime and shovels. And
that's right.
Just kidding.
3 a.m.
Just kidding. In a sharkskin suit.
Yeah, my brother says all the time he wants to dress up in 3-piece suits and walk into a Home Depot at 3 a.m.
Do you have lime?
Where do you keep your lime and your shovels?
How about a tarp?
Yeah.
But yes,
yeah.
Back to your point, yes, the road team.
The Eagles, the Falcons, and the Packers just steamrolling their way into the NFC Championship game. And, of course, their next date is with the Bears at Soldier Field. But my point is, you can't bring up road teams without bringing up the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And, Joe, I'm not going to totally poo-poo the Bears this weekend. You can't. But I think the problem with Jay Cutler is the fact that he hasn't done it consistently. And I think that's why you're getting so many people jumping on the Packers this weekend, even though they're on the road. And the Bears are a home dog this weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's got a lot of people also jumping on the Packers. But I think it's because Cutler, and you don't know what you're going to get out of him. And he's dealing with one of the number one, you know, one of the top defenses in the NFL this season in the Packers. And this is what we talked about Lovie Smith playing his starters and playing the Packers, you know, everything on the line the last week of the season. It was the Packers trying to get in the playoffs. The Bears had nowhere to go. They were locked into the two, but he played as if they were trying to get into the playoffs. And you know what? They almost beat the Packers and almost knocked them out of the playoff situation. So, Lovie Smith, looking back, there's no hindsight. He did what he needed to do. They fell short. They played their rear ends off in that game. They just lost. So now, if they end up losing to the Packers in the championship game, no one could go up to him and say, well, you know, you didn't play in the last week of the season. Baloney. He did. And the Packers come in. They come in hungry. And there's no like, well, hey, well, thanks for letting us in. Now we're going to beat you. That's something a lot of people aren't talking about.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very valid point that Lovie Smith is not going to have to put his hindsight glasses on and say, well, I should have played my starters, because he did.
And you know what? As a Giants fan, I hope for good karma for him. And I'm happy to see that Lovie Smith is back in this position, because you know what? He did put his starters in and gave the Giants a fighter's chance of getting in the playoffs. They didn't win. They're now in a position where they have to play the Packers again. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the talk around, you know, the Bears team this week is that, you know, they're being disrespected, even with the line. All of that being said, I think the hottest team right now and the best team in the NFL right now is the Green Bay Packers. And when it's all said and done, I think they're going to be the greatest number six seed to come out of the NFC. I think they're ultimately going to win the Super Bowl. I've been saying it all year.
So there we have it. The Packers and the Jets. Both of us have them heading to Dallas 2 weeks from Sunday. Now, I want to throw this out at you. I'm going to play reporter. I'm going to ask you a question because this is something I heard. You know, both of us listen to sports talk radio incessantly because it's our lives and we want to know what our peers are talking about this game. I won't bring up who it was, but this was one of the points, and I thought it was asinine, but, you know, there's so many people with so many talk shows. The fact that we don't have something on one of these stations somewhere just continues to baffle me. But anyway, this was the point that was brought up. It was the fact that the Jets have more guys on their team this week that haven't been to the Super Bowl and are hungrier, and that's the reason why they're going to beat the Steelers. Now, in the car, I wanted to literally take my fist and punch my radio until it was broken. You're basically saying, this is your thought process. You're basically saying the Steelers,
who won two championships in the last 5 years, mind you.
Right. They've been there, and you know what? They're going to come in. They're at home. The terrible towels will be going. You know, if we lose, big deal. We've won two. It's fine. We're not hungry. We're going to let the Jets walk in the Heinz Field and squeeze the ketchup out of
them. Do you think Mike Tomlin is going to let his soldiers go onto that field and just say, you know what, guys? I can see his pregame speech already. We've won two of these already.
Just go out there and have fun.
You're telling me a competitor like Ben Roethlisberger, who's one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league, is just going to go out there and say, yeah, I've got two rings. What do I need another one for? These guys, this is what they live for. They live for going to the Super Bowl.
I'm glad you heard it, too. Because I just wanted to get your thoughts on it because
it's ridiculous.
I thought it was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
It's ridiculous. Omar Epps is going to have his team up and running this week. And you know what? Everybody in Pittsburgh, he's going to have the backing of all the fans.
Is it the House Omar Epps or the Major League 2 Omar Epps? Filling in for Wesley Snipes.
Well, the Steelers are hoping it's not the second Willie Mays.
White Lightning, Black Thunder.
Mine dropped harder. Well, mine are dead. You know, Glenn Cingrandi always makes the point. He actually wanted to see that movie made. And I think I would have gone to see it.
I think we all would have.
Just see the body.
But it just baffled me because the point is contradictory. That point goes to Santonio Holmes, who's already been there and already won one, is on your team.
Yeah, you know what it is, Chris?
So what is he saying? Oh, if I lose, I already have a ring.
And this is my point about all of this talk radio stuff that goes on. These guys that are on talk radio are on every day. And now that the Jets are a story, they're beating that story into the ground. They want to talk about the Jets every minute of every show until the AFC Championship.
I understand that. And I'd like to have one of these problems where I have to talk about it every day.
Here's my point, though. My point is that sometimes these guys talk out of their behind and say things like, just to get the pot stirring.
Well, I don't think this was a time. I really don't.
I think it's just an asinine comment.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know what, you want to get the pot going, just make a valid point then. That's not even a valid point.
No.
I don't know one team in the NFL that would ever go into a championship game and say, you know what, just not up to it this week.
Nah.
We've already experienced.
We started OTAs in March, and we had brutal training camp in July.
Ben Roethlisberger wins another Super Bowl. He's in elite company, and he knows
Tom Brady.
He is an elite company.
Joe Montana.
You know what he is?
Ben Roethlisberger.
He's Tom Brady without a Super Bowl loss, too.
There you go.
If he wins another one.
That is an excellent point. And I think that's a good point to stop our football discussion. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. We're going to wrap this show up nice and tight with a nice little bow tie. We'll talk about the Nets. We'll talk about the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And we'll also talk about the Yankees. That's next on the Off the Wall podcast, brought to you by DirecTV.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast. And the Off the Wall podcast, once again, brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV. DirecTV, call 1-800-DIRECTV. Joe Auriemma, Chris Sheeran here with you. We're going to talk a little Nets basketball. The team only has 11 wins on the season. They're halfway through the season. You know, last year they only had 12 wins. So to have 11 halfway through, it's an improvement. If you want to look at it that way or not, it is, in my eyes. Avery Johnson, from covering this team, I think is a tremendous coach. He said countless amounts of times, it's not about the amount of wins we have at the end of the season. It's the wins we have inside the team, the progress we are getting inside the team. Something you have to realize if you're a Net fan out there or if you're just an NBA fan. The New Jersey Nets are coming off one of the worst seasons in NBA history.
Yes.
Brooke Lopez was being coached, if you want to call it that, by Kiki Vandeweghe, who wasn't really coaching, who basically just told Brooke to go out there and play street ball. So you're talking about a guy in Brooke Lopez who was coached up by Lawrence Frank in the years he was there. When Frank left and Vandeweghe took over, there was no coaching going on with Lopez. And you have to remember something. Is he a big piece? Is he a big block? Is he untouchable? Yes. But he wasn't being coached. Mm-hmm. Avery Johnson has had to rein him back in and coach him.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, halfway through the season, the last three games before the game, before the big win against the Jazz, in the three last losses of that trip out west where they went 0-4, he was averaging 29 points a game.
Yeah.
Avery Johnson has Brooke Lopez going in the right direction. And he told the reporters at the shoot-around the other day, it's basically not about – he wants to win. He said, don't get me wrong, we want to win. But these little battles that we're winning internally with Brooke starting to come around and Brooke starting to have an inside game.
Yeah.
And drawing people out to cover his jump shots outside. And now he's driving inside too and he's getting to the basket. That's a win.
Yeah. And
Sasha Vujacic coming off the bench. This was a direct quote from Avery Johnson after the win against the Jazz. Mm-hmm. I don't know where we'd be without Sasha Vujacic.
And here's the other thing that I've been saying is that this team, to me, would have at least 4 to 9 more wins, they'd be a 15 to 20 win team. If all this Carmelo talk wasn't surrounding them, if Derek Favors and everybody else in the team, didn't have to go to the ballpark or the arena on a nightly basis and say,
am I going to be
traded?
Think about this. If you're a player, and put the millions of dollars away for a second that they make, okay, because they're still human beings. You take Devin Harris in September, there's talks about him being traded. Those talks die down, okay? The season starts, he's with the Nets, he's a co-captain with Brooke Lopez. Then you get to, I'd say, early December, these rumors start, maybe even back into November.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dealing with this, and the team is losing. And it's losing close games. And then Favors. And then you're hearing 14 to 16 players changing hands, 8 off the Nets.
Yeah.
You're talking about over half of the Nets team wondering, am I staying in my apartment in New Jersey? Am I going to be in Denver? Am I going to be in Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to be? Then, now to this, maybe, they finally resign themselves to the fact, all right, well, I guess I'm going to Denver. And think about Devin Harris, he's been a part of this rebuilding phase in New Jersey. If they ship him to Denver for Carmelo Anthony,
that's a rebuilding
phase. Not only is he leaving the Nets, but he's going through this all over again in Denver.
Yeah.
Think about what this does to his, mentally.
Oh, I agree with you.
Mentally, and he has to answer these questions day after day after day after day. And Devin Harris has been professional through this whole thing. He has answered the questions.
Yes, he has.
He has stood in front of his locker, and he's done it as a professional. He's never gotten loud with anybody. He's never not answered a question. He's been the most professional player through this, through everything. Last night, during the game and post-game, this is after the Jazz win, depending on when you're listening to this, it was Wednesday night that the Nets beat the Jazz. And that was the first time in a long time I saw Devin Harris smile almost completely through a post-game press conference.
Yeah, it was weighing on his mind, absolutely. 100% it was weighing on Devin's mind. And you, like I said, you go to the arena on a nightly basis. And
kudos to Prokhorov for coming in here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you
about
that.
And the first thing he said, now listen, it didn't come as a shock to me. Because when you have a guy as powerful as Mikhail Prokhorov flying halfway across the globe from Russia to New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
this guy's no nonsense. I think he made that clear when he made his first appearance on Yes with Mike Francesa at Yankee Stadium. And he basically came out and said, you know what? I don't like the way this has gone on. I have a meeting set up with him tomorrow. It's canceled. I'm done. Enough is enough. I want my team to stop worrying about this, and I want them to start winning basketball games. And I give him major kudos for coming in, putting his fist down, and basically telling the Nuggets and Anthony, we've had it.
Well, I mean, the Nuggets kept coming back with, you know, well, we got to, you know, now we're
we got to get rid of Ronaldo Bachman. We got to get rid of
Al Harrington. They kept adding players to the deal, and just to see where they could push the limits. And you know what? Sometimes you just push teams too far, and then that's it. But the guy I really feel bad for is Billy King, because he's been working months and months and months tirelessly on this deal. But
now I think there's a lot of pressure off him, too. I think Mikhail Prokhorov took pressure off Billy King because he was being constantly hounded. And he's trying to get this deal done with Denver. And Denver, you know, their owner is how old?
30.
Their GM is how old?
28.
They got to grow up.
Yeah.
They really do. If they want to get rid of their star, they got
to
grow up.
Well, now they can go to the Knicks and get a less package that they were ever going to get. This is like the creme de la creme package that they were
going to get. Denver spit the bit because the Nets were offering the world, and they turned it down. Were they getting rid of Anthony? Yes, but they were going to be able to get a couple of first-round draft picks. Devin Harris is a very good point guard.
Mm-hmm. It would have been good for the Nets to have a legitimate star on their roster because...
But they don't need to force it, and they don't need to give up so much for it.
Well, now they're going to have to develop. Now they've committed themselves to going and taking all those draft picks that they now have and develop.
And they could still make a move or two before the trade deadline, but it's not going to be a blockbuster. It's not going to be something that's going to bring... You know, a star that's going to walk into Brooklyn and have people buying season tickets left and right.
Right.
But who knows what the offseason is going to bring the Nets. And I think, Nets fans, you are in tremendous hands with Mikhail Prokhorov running the show. I really do, because I tell you what, I don't know if you remember those E.F. Hutton commercials from back in the day. When E.F. Hutton talks, you listen. When this guy talks, you listen.
Yeah, well, you know, he came and made a statement last night and shocked the world in that press conference.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
And you know what? I believe he had the Nuggets scrambling last night. I really do. I think once he made that announcement, I think the Nuggets said, oh boy, I think we messed with the wrong guy.
Mikhail Prokhorov, one of his players, Sasha Vujicic, is engaged to Maria Sharapova. And I use that for a tennis analogy that I'm about to use right here. He volleyed the ball into the Knicks court. And now the Knicks have lost four in a row.
Yes.
As we tape this here on Thursday the 20th. And it seems like maybe, you know, we had the H1N1 virus last year, and now it's the Carmelo Anthony virus that's making its way through these teams. Mm-hmm. The Nets, you know, it's going to be interesting to see now that the Nets don't have this over their shoulder, you know, constantly looking over their shoulder, looking if they're going to be traded, how they're going to proceed here. They have the Pistons on the 21st. They have the Mavericks on the 22nd. And they're also home on the 24th, I believe. That matchup is against the Grizzlies, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, it is the the Cavaliers, and mm-hmm. then they have the Grizzlies on Wednesday. So you're talking about a five-game homestand where the Nets could go 4-1.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the teams, I mean, Dallas just beat the Lakers. They looked unbelievable the other night against L.A. But you're talking about if the Nets go 4-1 on this homestand, you're going to – you could speculate all you want. This was really looming large. And that Nets team against the Jazz looked like a completely different team. But let's go to the Knicks. And I just think, you know,
Donnie Walsh basically should send Prokhorov a gift basket.
Well, not only that, but Donnie Walsh should get this done and get it done soon. Don't beat around the bush. Don't have the same thing. Because the deadline isn't for basically over a month.
He needs to get that first rounder for Anthony Randolph.
Go get it and go get something done and get it done quick. Because the Knicks now, like I said, they've lost 4 in a row. I think they're 22-18 now in the season.
Donnie Walsh should go into those meetings and say, hey, kids, you've already blown one trade where you could have gotten a lot of good prospects. I think you need to make this move now because guess what? Melo ain't coming back.
Yeah.
And he's going to say yes to coming here.
In the press conference after the game, as I said earlier, it bears repeating, he said he stood by his discussion with SI, and he said he believes he'll be traded by the deadline, which is late February. So there you have it, the Nets. And now the Nets' burden is now squarely planted on the Knicks. We'll see if the Knicks can get something done.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to ask for guys like Landry Fields and, you know, Danilo Gallinari. And it's going to be – I like the way the Knicks are right now, but that really they have no depth.
But they're still a 22-18 team. I mean, they're competitive, and people like it.
I think.
But in order to get Carmelo –
Felton's hurt. They need a backup point guard in the worst way. I would like to see if the Knicks can get him, that adds – a lot of cachet back to the garden.
Hey, you have Amari and Carmelo.
And then you just got to build around those guys.
Yep, absolutely. Now, I was with the Nets yesterday. I was not a part of the Yankee press conference that introduced Rafael Soriano. You were all over that. You were on top of it. So why don't you break it down for us? Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, it seems like Brian Cashman, he made it pretty clear that he was not a part of this Rafael Soriano signing, that he was opposed to it. However, on the front, they tried to make it, I guess, seem like things were still peaches and cream and things were rosy in the front office. However, the sense that I got was that, Cashman, although he's admitted that this does make the Yankees a better team, did not want to pay a setup man the money that they paid.
Plus the draft pick. The Rays, by the way.
Exactly. And my sense of it was that Cashman might have been a little bit annoyed. However, I think it's going to be interesting to see if this has a lasting effect on Brian Cashman's relationship with the front office. A lot of pundits out there seem to think that, well, you know, it's Hal Steinbrenner's team. He makes the final decision. And if he wanted Rafael Soriano, he went out and got Rafael Soriano. But to me, I think it's going to be interesting because Brian Cashman's his baseball guy. He really didn't use, you know, the baseball guy and his statistics and everything to make this signing. So is Cashman going to be, you know, taken aback by this and say, you know, this is just back to the George days where, you know, I make a suggestion and George just goes off and does his own thing. I think that's going to loom large in Brian Cashman's thinking when he makes signs.
Let me ask you this. With the rotation in the flux that it's in, especially with Pettit, who, by the way, I saw on Twitter yesterday, said he's throwing just in case.
Yeah, stop, Andy. Listen, I like
either you're playing or you're not playing.
I love Andy Pettit, but don't do that. Don't do that.
But with the rotation as it is, don't you think they needed to make, and I'm just asking you as a fan and as a reporter, do you think they needed to make this move?
I think they needed to shore up their bullpen. I think they looked at what was out there, guys like Brian Fuentes and John Roush, and they said,
well, they got the pick of the litter. I mean,
right. Like, I think Soriano's a star. I really do think he's a star. And that makes the Yankees, you know, in the eighth and ninth inning, just completely shut down. I mean, they're a shutdown bullpen.
Assuming Mariano is, you know, every year everybody says he's not going to be Mariano, and he ends up being Mariano. But, you know, you're talking about a guy who's going to be 42. And
yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of bloggers and people on Twitter that did not like this move. However, I do like the move. I personally think that it makes the Yankees a better ball club, and I think that unlike the Steve Carsays of the world, unlike the Kyle Farnsworth of the world, Rafael Soriano is the real deal. He will be a shutdown guy, and he does, in case, you know, guys like Sergio Mitre and Ivan Nova don't go as far as they should go into games, you know, it does help in the back end, especially with Feliciano and everybody else, you know, that the Yankees have signed, Boone Logan and Robertson back there. I think this also does open the door for one thing. I know a lot of Yankee fans have been saying, Jabba Chamberlain, why can't, you know, if Mitre is going to be in the rotation, why can't we make him a starter again? I don't think the Yankees should make him a starter again. I think the Yankees should trade him. I really do. If there is a pitcher out there that is available to be a third, fourth starter, his value is down from where he was in 2007. I think it's time to cut ties with Jabba Chamberlain. He doesn't have a role in this team anymore.
Where does he fit in the bullpen?
Yeah, is he a sixth inning guy? Is he a seventh inning guy? Is Joe gonna ride the hot hand? I mean, is that what's gonna go on here? Which he's been doing.
I mean, he gives you a choice, but in a big game.
I think the Yankees saw what they needed to see out of Jabba Chamberlain as a starter, and
in your eyes,
that's it.
Let me ask you this: in your eyes, you're talking about a starter going into the sixth. You have Feliciano as a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
You have Logan as a specialist as well. But Logan could also get you a couple outs. You see Robertson in the seventh?
As of right now, I see Robertson and Jabba splitting it up. And okay. Whoever's the hot hand, that's who Girardi's going to get.
So whoever the hot hand is goes to Mo.
I think Soriano's got the eighth inning.
Yeah, Soriano to Mo is lock.
Lock. And I think the seventh inning is going to be, you know, if it's a lefty situation, I think they're going to go with Logan. If it's Feliciano is their top choice,
Yeah. Obviously.
So I think it's Feliciano and Logan if there's a lefty-heavy lineup coming up in the seventh. As we see, the Red Sox have a very lefty-heavy lineup. And if you look at, you know,
and against
the hot hand.
Adrian Gonzalez, Feliciano has him, I think, 1-for-8.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you look at that, and I think you look at the hot hand between Robertson and Jabba at this point. That's who I think they're going to go with.
And by the way, as we wrap up this Off the Wall podcast brought to you by DirecTV, I just want to get it out there that Joe will be our YesNetwork.com voice and blogger at the stadium this year for 81 games, all 81 home games. So
yes,
I want to congratulate Joe on getting that post. And he has an irreverent sense of humor. It's kind of the same as mine, and I think you'll enjoy it on Twitter. If you're not following him, please do. It's at Joe Auriemma.
Yes.
That is his handle. It's really,
thank you very much,
really
Chris.
Easy. At Joe Auriemma. Yes. He'll be blogging all year. He'll be on the Twitter.
I'll be on video.
Year. He'll be on video interviewing players before the games at home. So all the storylines that you're wondering about that you may have missed on the pregame show from the night before, or you missed on the postgame, Joe will have fresh stuff every homestand, and you could see it on YesNetwork.com. Just go to the front page. It'll be in the video window, and check it out.
Let's also not forget that Chris and I will be down in Tampa starting March 1st. You'll be there till the 8th. I'm going to be doing some extra stuff until March 13th.
Can we talk about your special that you're doing, or is that still hush-hush? Is that a surprise for everybody?
We could talk about it. I'm doing a little something about with Roger Maris's family. That's where I'm going to go with it right now. I think it's going to be good.
Okay.
And I'm going to make a bunch of webisodes out of it. And we're going to do a feature. I think it's going to be really nice.
Okay.
It's the first time Roger's family, other than Yankeeography, have really been a part of the Yes Network, and I'm very happy and proud to be working on this project. So it's
I am definitely looking forward to that.
Ah, to hell with it. It's the 50-year anniversary of 1961, Roger Maris, him hitting his 61 home runs, and I've got the family all involved, and we're going to do a nice piece surrounding the family.
I am very much looking forward to that, as I'm sure everybody out there who's listening is as well. Once again, I want to thank everybody for jumping aboard on this Off the Wall podcast. We do this for you. We also do it as a venting, you know, like the soapbox for us too, because once a week, this is the only time we get to vent our frustrations about everything that's going on in the world of sports. We appreciate you guys listening, and we hope you're back next week for another Off the Wall podcast brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV. DirecTV, call 1-800-DIRECTV. For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next time. Have a good one, everybody.